Well, good morning, Waleska. It is good to be with you. WM, thank you for loving my family. Thank you. We've had much love for our family this week, and I just appreciate it so much. Let me ask you, have you ever had a hard week? We have. So it's just been tough with some things that are going on. And I appreciate your prayers. I appreciate your love and your compassion towards us. But it's just been tough. And so maybe you're coming in here today from a tough week. Guys, I can't think of a better place after a tough week to be than with God's people. So it is a joy to be here with you guys this morning. I do want to say before we get started and before we pray, if you are a visitor here this morning, you're going to hear a message that is very centered on this church. So it's a little bit different because it's talking about really the mission of our church. And so here's what I want to say up front. Jesus Christ is the only Savior of the world. Okay? So in this message, there will be a lot of talk about what we do. But inside of this message, you may not hear a whole lot about what has been done from Jesus Christ. And I want to say up front before it is missed, you have no hope apart from Jesus Christ. But inside of Him, you have eternal life that will never leave you, that will never go away from you, because Jesus Christ paid for your sins upon a cross. So before we go on any further, I want you to hear that message that Jesus Christ loved you and came to earth for you and died on the cross. And what you're going to hear this morning is a message that comes out of that message, the gospel. The message is for our church and how we embrace that message and move forward as a church. We do everything we do here because Jesus Christ came. He died and He rose again. So let's pray and let's get started this morning. Father in heaven, I know that this morning there may be some here with burdened hearts. There may be some here that are weary of life and just tired. There may be some here, Father, that are struggling with thoughts of a friend or a loved one that would love to be able to reach. Father, there are so many things inside of this world that will weigh us down. But Father, You love us, and You have given us Your message, and You've given us a church family. Father, as I'm here this morning, I'm so grateful for them. Father, we need to strengthen what You have given to us. Lord, we need to be good stewards of what You have entrusted to us. So, Father, this morning, as we look inside of Your Word and as we talk about our future, Father, I do pray that right now Your Holy Spirit works upon all of our hearts so that we can embrace what You have for us. Father, I thank You for this opportunity. Lord, clear my mind and my heart and allow me to speak what You have already spoken to me. I love You, Father, and it's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen. So in 1965, it was a group called The Byrds. They played a song, sang a song that climbed all the way up to the number one spot in American music. You've pretty much already heard this song this morning. You know it as Turn, 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 right? Anybody ever heard that song? Okay, it's a good song. I like it. This is a song that captivated America. It really actually captivated the world. It rose up to number 3 in Canada, up to number 26 in the UK. This was a song that was very popular all around the world. Here's a little trivia about this song. That song has the oldest lyrics of any song that took the number one spot for music in America. So the oldest lyrics for any song that reached number one, it is on this song, Turn, Turn, Turn. So why in the world would a song with lyrics this old captivate America? Why would it become so popular? How could a song like this, that pretty much is all Bible, I think there's only three words that aren't in from the Bible inside of this song, how could a song with only pretty much Bible lyrics captivate America? It was a journalist at the time, William Rollman. He wrote that the song hit a nerve at a perfect moment inside of America. If you think about it, the Vietnam War was escalating, and he said that it reminded people that this was just a time for the world, that it was just a season for the world. And for some, this song called for an end of the war. And for some, it called them to action. They heard it in different ways. But this song is timeless. These words from God are timeless. And they're meant, as we read them this morning, this is more than just a popular song, they're meant to hit a nerve with God's people as well. The first verse of Ecclesiastes in this book, it says that these are the words of a preacher. These words were meant to be preached or spoken to an assembly. They were to be called out to God's people. And so my prayer is that this morning, these words hit God's people this morning too. And while there's a ton of truth spoken in these words this morning, I'm pretty much going to be sticking to the last half of verse 5, and I'm going to be using it as a launching pad to go into our message. And so the preacher tells us that there is a time to embrace in verse 5. And church, I want to tell you, this is a big statement in a very long sentence, but I didn't know how to shorten it. Church, I want to tell you that there has never been a season in the life of this church that needed a unified people to embrace a clear vision for the future as it does now. There's never been a time in the life of this church where a unified people embracing a clear vision was more important than it is right now. And so the preacher in Ecclesiastes, he's reminding us that there is a time to embrace. And this morning, I, as your pastor, I'm coming to you and saying, there's a time to embrace, and it is now. It is now. So what does it mean that we need to be an embracing people? Last week, we talked about church membership just in general. And I showed you that it was biblical, and I showed you in a general way kind of what it looks like. But what does it look like for us to embrace this church, specifically here? What does it mean that it's a time for us to embrace Waleska? Every church has two identities, and I'll talk a little bit about this on the sermon notes if you have them, but every church has two identities, an external identity and an internal identity. And an external identity is how the community around us, outside of our doors, sees us. Do they know us? What do they know about us? What would they say about us? What are some of the stories that they hear about this place? And external identities are extremely important. They'll often determine if people want to come in and just check us out. It'll often determine if people want to come here and see us. One of the external identities that you can see very easily is our website. That's the reason why our website needs to be clean and updated, because it displays out there who we are in here. And so it can be a deciding factor for people that are thinking about visiting us. And guys, it can also be equally bad if people just don't know us that live inside of this community. So an external image is very important, but an internal image, an identity, it's also important too. So an internal identity is how we see ourselves. What's special about this place? What makes Waleska unique? What's important to us? How would we describe ourselves? What is our DNA? What makes up our DNA here? And an internal identity is important because we will live out what we think about ourselves. What we think about is what is important here. We as a congregation will live that out. We will become What we live out and what we think is important will be lived out in our fellowship, is what I mean. What we see as important, we will live that out as we come together. And so really our DNA determines what it is that we do. And so if we're not all clear about what our DNA is, guys, we'll all be going in different directions and thinking that we're doing a lot of great things and there's a lot of activity, but nothing really gets done. And so sometimes the way that outsiders see us and the way that we see ourselves are just different. And this can cause major problems. If we see ourselves as one way, but the outsiders see us in a different light, that's an issue. So I want to give you a little example from my past. Chris and I used to work at the Joy House, and boys would come and live with us. They'd come stay with us. And every boy was there for a specific reason. So every boy would come into our house because there was something going on in their life that they really needed to focus on. But oftentimes, the hardest residents were the ones that came in and felt like they had everything together. They'd come in and they'd tell us, no, I'm really neat and tidy. And in 2 days, their room is a wreck. They would come in and say, I'm really not the one with any issues. It's my parents that are crazy. And within a week, you realize that is just absolutely not true. So for these people that would come into our house, the hardest residents were the ones where their internal identity didn't match their external identity. What they believed about themselves was not exactly what they were portraying out there to us. And so here's the point. It's a major problem when our external identity that we display doesn't match what we think about ourselves. And this is true for not only people, but it's also true for churches. You just heard the song saying, I love that Brian wrote that song. If you didn't know that, Brian did write that song. We exist to strengthen Christ's church through celebrating God's word. I love that statement. I know that you have all heard it before, and this is kind of the goal of us here at Waleska. This is something that I threw out to you a long time ago, and our goal here at Waleska is to become a strong church that helps individuals, families, and communities know and do the will of God. That's basically our big arching goal of what we're trying to do here. We're trying to help everyone know that we need to be a strong church, not only for ourselves, but also for families and the people in our community. That's the purpose. And when we celebrate God's word, I believe everything falls into place. When we celebrate and surrender to God's word, I believe all of those goals will fall in place. While I love that statement has a major problem. It doesn't say anything specific. It doesn't give any specifics about what it is that we're supposed to do. It doesn't tell us how we're going to accomplish our goal. It doesn't give us a roadmap for success. It doesn't tell us what our DNA is. So I go to a lot of conferences. There's a ton of conferences all around the nation for pastors and church leaders, and I've been to a lot of them over the years. And something that you hear at a lot of these conferences, you just pastors talking to each other, is they'll ask people, like when they're talking to a pastor for the first time and always trying to gather information and just ideas, one of the questions they'll ask is, what's your church DNA? What's the DNA of your church? And so that's something that you hear a lot. There's so much of the church growth and church strategy stuff out there, I think is silly. And I don't know that I really want to buy into a lot of the church growth stuff that I hear. But guys, I've come to realize that this question about church DNA is actually a very important one. Well, a pastor needs to know kind of what it is that's the makeup of the church. And so there is an importance to understand what your church's DNA is. And so for us to understand what a church is, the importance of a church DNA is, let's think about the DNA of our own body. I am not a scientist. I am not a geneticist. I don't even know really. I can't pronounce the actual words for what DNA actually stand for. When I was looking this up, I literally typed into Google, easy explanation of DNA. Like, Google, talk to me like I'm 5 years old and explain this to me. And it kicked out a pretty good answer. It said, think of it as an instruction manual for how your body forms. It is the genetic code that tells an organism how to develop and to function. How to develop and to function. Think about those two words. Those are important words, not only for your body, but they are also important words for a church congregation. How are we to develop as a body, and how are we to function as a body? And so the DNA for our own body is extremely complex. So when I was looking up some of this stuff, I found this. You know, inside of your body, there's like around 100 trillion cells. And the DNA code inside of each one of those cells is about 6 feet long. If you took all the DNA out of your body and laid them end to end, it would be enough to take you from the earth to the sun 600 times. That's a long way. You're going back and forth from the earth to the sun. That's how much information encoding is inside of your body. That is amazing. Your body is extremely complex. And we don't even have to understand how it works for it to function and develop exactly how God wanted it to work out. All the parts of your body will develop and function exactly as God designed your DNA to do. And you don't even need to know it. It just happens naturally. But what about the DNA of a local church? For the DNA of a local church to develop and function the way that God wants it to be, it has to be known and understood by all its members. They must be united and going in the same direction. The members of the church need to know and embrace the DNA. And if they don't know it, and they don't embrace it, it won't function or develop. And there may be tons of activity, but no real results. If we don't have a clear identity, if we don't have an identified DNA, if we don't have a clear mission to accomplish here at this church, we won't be a strong church. So let's talk about something and get real for just a second. When somebody asks you, hey, tell me about your church, what's the number one answer that we give to them? When somebody says, hey, tell me about your church, or you just want to tell somebody about your church, this is the number one answer, I think, of pretty much anybody that goes to church in the entire Southeast. The answer that we give to them is, oh, we're a loving congregation, or oh, we're a friendly congregation. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. It is true. I have said that many, many times. But can we just think about this for just a second? Shouldn't every church be a loving church? Shouldn't every church be a friendly and welcoming church? So I think that's a given, right? When somebody talks to you about your church, I mean, that's not saying a whole lot. They should assume that it is a friendly and loving church. Telling people about a loving church is good, but it doesn't tell them anything about our unique values. It doesn't tell them what makes Waleska, Waleska. And so when people ask you about your church, or when you're talking to them about your church, you're really talking about the DNA, the identity of your church, what it is that we do here. What's the mission that we are trying to accomplish here? So here's the question I want to ask. Would we all be able to answer that the same way? Would we all be able to explain our mission together? Now, we're all Christians, and so the result will be glorifying Jesus Christ. But getting down to the specifics, would we be able to clearly define, clearly show a unified, embraced mission that we are trying to every Sunday, every day, accomplish here? Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him, and a threefold cord is not easily or quickly broken. So the principle for this verse in a church is if one man stands alone, the mission or the rope in this example, it will break. Then he says if two men stand together, the mission here, the rope here, the cord here will get a little bit stronger. Then he says a threefold cord, it'll get a little bit stronger. And so the mission gets a little bit stronger and it probably won't break. That's the point. The true churches don't only have just one, two, or three strands that are working together. The entire membership, they unite together and embrace this vision. And when they do, this cord will be powerful and strong and effective and healthy. Because it's not just one, two, or three cords. It is all the cords of the membership coming together and embracing each other. And that cord, church, cannot be broken because Jesus Christ is the one who binds them together. Well, Leska, this morning, I'm asking you to embrace a mission for this church going forward. Well, I'm asking you to embrace a united mission for this church. Now, God has made the DNA for churches very simple. It made it very simple. And there's many churches that have expressed this in many different ways. But for Waleska, we're going to simplify it down to four simple words. Believe, belong, become, and build. Believe, belong, become, and build. Now, I want you all to say it with me. I think it's all up here. So, believe, belong, become, and build. And build. Now, some of you didn't move your lips. I saw it. So, believe, belong, become, and build. These four words right here cover really the entire Christian mission that is laid out for us inside of Scripture. A few weeks ago, we talked about head, heart, hands. Remember how all the information from the Bible has to travel through our ears and settle in our heart, and then we have to live out the truth. This is very similar to that idea. And so this morning, I want to quickly walk through some of these with you. The first step here in this is to believe in Jesus. And not only believe in Jesus, but to believe every word of Jesus. I think there are people that believe in Jesus, but they compartmentalize and they don't believe every word of Jesus. The first step here is surrendering our lives to Jesus and his teaching. This is where the new life of a Christian begins. This is the first crucial thing for any church. We have to be a believing people. Romans 10:9 says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This is where it starts. This is step one. So the first crucial question that we have to ask ourselves is this. What can we as a church do to help people, more people in our area, believe in Jesus Christ? That's the question number one. How can we help more people believe in Jesus Christ? How can we become more evangelistic in what we do here? We have to become more evangelistic. And guys, if we fail at sharing the gospel, church, please hear this. We've shared it. We failed at everything. The reason we are on this earth, the reason we don't get saved and go straight to heaven is because we have a mission to accomplish, which involves the first step of sharing the gospel with people. That's what we've got to be about. And Jesus came so that people would know and believe in him. And church, our primary mission here at Waleska has to be that people believe in Jesus Christ and surrender their lives to him. But that's step one. Our job isn't done there. We now have to connect them to Christ's body, the church. A believer isn't saved to live life alone. A believer isn't saved to live life outside of the community of God's people. They're saved to belong to his church as a member of the body. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, "Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." And Paul is saying to the Corinthian members here, he says, "You belong together." That's what he's saying. And church, I want to piggyback on Paul this morning and say, you all belong together. If we come together as members, we belong together. We belong together in the sense that we embrace a unified mission and we go forward together. Paul is telling them, this body can't be split up into its different members. This body has to be joined together. So this word makes us ask, how can we help people belong here? How can we help people belong here? And church, I'm convinced that this world is lonelier and more isolated than it has ever been. I believe COVID just accelerated a lot of that, but I think that this world is just totally lonely. People are looking for a place to belong. They're running to all sorts of kinds of things to find their purpose. But until people believe in Jesus Christ and belong to his church, that hole inside of their heart will never be filled. They will search and search and search and search, and it will have a dead end that does not lead to hope. If God's design for your life is for you to trust in Jesus Christ and belong to his church, you will search forever finding true purpose if you don't have those two things in your life. That's God's purpose for us. So we have to be about keeping people and bringing them in and connecting them to his church. True relief and true freedom and true purpose is only found in Jesus Christ. And church, please hear this. It's because of Jesus that any of us belong here. It's because of him that any of us belong here. So we have somebody that comes through our door. They're thinking about this church, contemplating this church. Guys, it is Jesus Christ that pays their admission. It's Jesus Christ that tells us they belong here among my people. We have to be a people that connect people. We love people. We welcome people. We show them that they belong here. And guys, if we don't create a culture where people can join and get connected, sometimes they won't feel like they belong. One of the things that I hear from a lot of people that leave churches is just, you know, I just never got connected. I never felt like, you know, things just didn't click. And I think there's people in here this morning that probably have experienced that. Where you go to a church and you feel like, man, this is where I need to be. But over time, there's just not this connection. It just doesn't work out. And there are people that join a church and they have their name on a roster, but they still feel and live like an outsider of the church. And I think that's one of the worst feelings that you can have, or that's one of the worst feelings that I can have, is to be a part of something but not really be a part of something. Be a part of something but not really be joined into something. Have your name on the list but not really on the hearts of those other people that you're with. Just an example of this, when I was younger, I played baseball, played travel ball, and I loved the team. I was part of the team. Committed to the team, played, I loved it. But one day I wasn't invited to the pool party. I think it wasn't only me. I think it was a couple other guys. But I just wondered, like, you know, I'm a part of the team, but am I really part of the team? Church, we've got to fix that inside of our churches today. That's not just an issue inside of here, it's an issue inside of churches in general. We've got to be people that are considerate of others and get them involved so they don't feel like this. There's a clique or there is an outside and an inside. We have to connect people so that they can belong here. So this four-word mission statement doesn't just invite people to join a church. It calls them to belong to a church where they are known, where they share their struggles. When you belong somewhere, church, you know it. When you belong somewhere, you know it. Your heart says, this is where I am. I'm at home. I am safe. I have a purpose here. You know your role to play. Kristen and I had a pastor in Texas. I never thought I'd quote him. But we had a pastor in Texas that used to say some funny things. And he used to say this. He says, too many people, I'm trying to get his voice just right, but he says, too many people join a church and then sit the rest of their lives out on the pew of do nothing. That's what he would say, and he would say it often. And I don't believe that that's the case for us. But guys, it is true in countless churches. People come in, join, and they sit out their lives on the pew of do nothing. And guys, we have to create a culture that expects its members to get involved and gives them opportunities to get involved. Inside of our messaging and how we talk about our church, part of our DNA has to be removing the pew of do nothing from what we do here at this church. We want our members, all of them, to play an active role in the life of the church. And so we want everyone to ask themselves, in what ways can I use my gifts for the body of Christ? What is God calling me specifically to do here? So is God calling you to start maybe a small group and kind of think that up? This might be a good time to talk about something that's going on with the men. Men, if you are here this morning, we have a sign-up sheet out back. Trey already talked about it a little bit. We're trying to gauge the interest for having a small group or small groups for men here at this church. Now, there is one small group already going, kind of testing the waters with this, and we're going through 1 Timothy. So if you are interested, Trey and I will get together and we'll kind of divvy out all the small groups. If you're interested, I'd love for you to fill out the information in the back. Trey will be at the table. He'll kind of give you some information if you'd like. Now, this is a little plea with you. Men, if you are interested, the first 5 people will get the book for free. So if you are interested, sign up at the back. It's the round table. Trey will be there, and you can get the book for free. But maybe your thing isn't leading a small group. How about music? Brian, could we use any music? Help with music? Okay. Yeah. What? Maybe it's starting an outreach team. Maybe you've got some ideas for family ministry. Maybe you've got some ideas for widow ministry. Maybe you might want to help out with our greeter team and get you into the rotation. Men, maybe you're just looking for something to do and you're thinking, hey, maybe I could do something with buildings and grounds. We need some help, right? Yeah. We need some help with this. When we belong, please hear this, when we belong to a church, things aren't done by someone else. Does that make sense? When we belong to a church, things are not done by someone else. We're not looking or waiting for someone to step up to the plate. They are done by us. Church, how many years have been wasted inside of churches for them just waiting for someone to step up and do it? There's something that needs to be done. And somebody is waiting for somebody to do something. And what happens is it's paralyzed. Nothing happens. And when we are members of a church, when we belong here, the question is, where do I serve my church? That's the question. And so once you believe and once you belong, then you can become who God has created you to be. So this is the question for the church. And I love this question. How can we help people become who God has created them to be? How can we as a church help people in this community become who God has created them to be? And guys, this is about creating real spiritual depth within a person. How can we help someone grow in their faith? How can we help people live out their faith? What are the things that we need to do to help people have the Bible just infiltrate every part of their life? What do we need to do? I want to say that again. Guys, this is about helping get where God wants people to be. This is about helping people get to where God has called them to be. So church, if you're in here and you would consider yourself a leader in any way, if you would consider yourself a leader in any way, whatever you do, whether it's music or changing light bulbs or whatever it is that you do here where you're thinking you're a leader, it's not about music. It's not about light bulbs. It's not about the thing that you do. It's about helping people get to where God wants them to be. Everything that's done here, from sweeping the floor to teaching a class to preaching, everything we do here, from the first moment someone rolls into the parking lot to sitting here in the pew, everything we do here is to be aimed at helping people get to where God has created them to be. Do you see how beautiful that is when we embrace that? As a church, that's our job. That's our job. And Christians are longing for that kind of community where they're being pushed and they know exactly where they belong. This is the discipleship that people are looking for. Part of our discipleship here is that you can live out the Christian life and not be alone in it. Part of our DNA is that you won't be alone in this Christian journey. We have classes. We're hoping to get some more small groups. In our preaching, every one of our worship services, every one of them is aimed at helping people grow together in Christ. Not alone in Christ, but together in Christ. And Waleska needs to be a place where people can renew their minds, like Romans 12:2 tells us, where we create an environment where people feel comfortable asking questions about life and about God and about the Bible. And guys, where they can get genuine answers, like authentic answers from God's Word about life. Families are messed up, church, and they are looking for some truth. We've got to be able to offer that to them here. We must create an environment where members are expected to grow. They're expected to grow. Guys, we should have blisters on our hands from digging into God's Word. As a church, we should have blisters on our hands. Growth must be a part of our DNA. And I want you to hear how Hebrews, the author of Hebrews, chastises the church that he's writing to. He says this in Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. He says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil." And guys, I believe there are countless churches all across America that fit this description that the author of Hebrews gives us here, where people have been members for years and years and years and have nothing to show for it. Church, part of our DNA must be that we create mature believers. Amen? We're not called to be here and be weak. We're called here to have high expectations of our members. And we must have high expectations for our members because God tells us that He wants His people to grow. And guys, if we are God's mouthpiece here left on this earth, it's okay for us to tell you, we want you to grow. We want you to grow. We have an expectation that every member here should be growing. This is a lifelong process, but we do expect it. Colossians 1:28 says, Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Guys, I love that verse, and that needs to be a bright, blinking neon light verse for our church. That our part of our job, part of our DNA, is that we want to present everyone mature in Christ. That there is a growth there. Let me say it this way. Your family will be better if you are growing in Christ. Your marriage will be better if you are growing in Christ. Your community and your job and your outlook on life will be better if you're growing in Christ. Church, this church, we as a people need to be people that make things better. When you share the gospel and when you live out the gospel, things will get better. You influence this world by living out the gospel. So finally, once a person belongs or believes and belongs and starts the journey of becoming, we now want them to join in and help us build. And part of our identity is that we need to be known for a church that's building strong families and churches and communities. And this is service. This is built into our DNA that we expect men to love their families and serve their wives as God has called them to serve them, and to love their kids the way that Christ has called them to love them, to build up their family and fortify their family from the attacks of this world. And I want you to think about this, guys, especially the men in here. Your godly marriage is a gift to this world, because there's not a lot of them. Your godly marriage is a gift and a blessing to this world. So don't neglect it. And we're a church that comes alongside you and says, hey, we want to help that. So the second thing we need to build is strong churches. Do y'all know what a BHAG is? Big, hairy, audacious goal. Have you ever heard that before? So I'm going to share with you what my big, hairy, audacious goal is. I want to see Waleska go from a church that really needs some help to a church that is able to help other churches that are struggling. I want to see us go from a church that is looking for some help to a church that has the resources and the people behind them that says, hey, we now can help you. Because there's a lot of churches that need help today. And inside of the book of Acts, what we see is churches helping churches. And guys, this is a huge transition. This is a massive transition from us working on only ourselves to being able to now work on the kingdom of God. And so a transition like this is a big vision. And it's going to take people not only like myself, but to you to embrace this kind of vision. You know, you may not share exactly that vision, but I'm asking you to dream big dreams here as a member. Think of things that God can do here and pray those. And lastly, part of building is our community. Recently, we've talked a lot about our community, and there's so many different opportunities out there, from the pregnancy center to the Angel House to the Ruth House to the Joy House, House Parents, to Timothy House, to Goshen Valley, to FCA, to Mission Academy. In a lot of these that I mentioned, we don't really have relationships with yet. But I think we need to. They're right here in our backyard. So if one of those that I mentioned or one of those that I didn't mention just strikes a chord with you and you have a burden for them, come and talk with me. But the point that I'm trying to make is Waleska needs to be seen in its community. And we will be seen when we serve our community and build up our community. And so, you know, it's not fair for me, and I thought this when I was growing up, it's not fair for pastors to tell people that they need to be doing something without giving them the opportunity to do something. So alongside of our DNA is going to be that I'm going to present you with a lot of different opportunities. And one of them is coming up this week with feeding over at FCA. So Wednesday night, Trey already told you a little bit about this. On Wednesday night, we're going to be meeting here at the parking lot, and we're going to be going over to the Glass House and feeding. And I believe they eat at 7, right? So we need to be set up at 6:45, So we're going to meet here in the parking lot at 6 o'clock, travel over there, have everything set up. Trey and I and Nina, we're doing all the food. Here's what we need from you. We need people to show up and smile and have conversations with some of the students and love them the way Christ would love them and show them what the gospel looks like through being kind. That's what we need. That's the basic need that we have. So if you're interested, come out and join us. Come out and smile. Come out and have conversation. We would also ask, if it's okay, that we stay for the worship service so you can see a little bit more about what it is that they do. Well, let's get the book of Ecclesiastes tells us there's a time to embrace. And in verse 3, it also tells us that there's a time to build. And so this morning, I want you to hear me. For Waleska, guys, it's time for us to build. It's time for us to build strong. It's time for us to embrace a vision for our future and build upon it. So let's put all of that together. Here's our mission: to help people believe in Jesus and belong to His church and equip them to become who God created them to be so they can build strong families, churches, and communities. That's what we do here. Now, you don't have to remember all of that. You only have to remember the four words: believe, belong, become, and build. And so as a church, there should be no question about what it is that we do here. This is it. This is our mission: believe, belong, become, build. And so from now on, everything that we do here is put through the filter of our four mission questions. And I want to go through them with you together. Got them up on the screen. So the first one, here's our four mission questions. Believe. How can we help people believe in Jesus? Seems like a simple question, but that guides everything that we do. Look at the next one. How can we help people belong here? Seems like a simple question, but that's what we do. Look at the next one. Become. How can we help people become who God created them to be? That's what we do. That's discipleship. Look at the next one. Build. How can we help people build strong families, churches, and communities? Those are the four questions that we ask before we do anything. Those of us in leadership, those are the questions that we need to be able to ask ourselves. These questions will guide our decisions. These questions will guide our finances and our efforts. These questions will guide our member expectations. They'll also serve as a pathway for visitors and guests that want to know how to join our church. These four words will immediately show every guest what we desire for them and what our mission is. It provides a pathway from a guest to a believer and builder. Church, the DNA that runs through your body determines everything about you. And for us, this mission is the same. These four words will determine the kind of church that we will look like. It addresses our external identity and addresses our internal identity. And the Bible tells us that a people without a vision perish. That's what the Bible tells us. But guys, I want to tell you that everything that we just talked about is all silly talk if we don't embrace it. Everything that was just said, that this kind of vision and pleading, all of this is just silly talk if we don't embrace it. So this may bring up some questions for you. Some of you may be sitting there thinking, well, I didn't hear nothing about children's ministry. What about children's ministry? How does that fit into all of this? Maybe some other ministries that you're thinking of. And guys, I just want to say that we have to create an environment and a culture that is attractive for families. That is so vital. We have to cast a clear vision for families so that they know what it is that they might be joining. They have to know this. And guys, parents only have a short time with their kids, and they need to make it worth something. So we've got to cast that vision. And church, I'm going to say something, and I want you to hear me because this is vitally important for all of this. Guys, we have to be good stewards of what we currently have if we want God to bless us with something that we don't have. Amen? If we're not good stewards of what we have, let me say it this way. We must be good stewards of what God has currently entrusted to us if we want Him to bless us with something that isn't here yet. We've got to be good stewards of what God has given to us. And so our passage this morning, it tells us that for everything there is a season, and everything there is a time. Church, I'm telling you this morning, it is time to embrace. It is time for us to work on our identity and strive to be the church that God has called us to be. It is time for us to pray and work hard. Both are needed. To pray and work hard. It's time for us to find the motivation that's required and move forward. It's time for us to embrace the identity, urgency of this moment, and embrace the vision that God has given to us. Am I alone? Let's hear it. Am I alone? Okay. There's urgency to this message, church. There's urgency to this. And I pray that you take the sermon notes that you have this morning and you look it over. You ask questions to yourself. You email me. You call me. You ask questions to me. But guys, this is important because it will decide what it is that we do here. If it's not under one of these four questions, it's not our mission. This is what we do. And I pray that we can be an embracing people for this time. Church, let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for loving us and taking care of your church and being a God that gives power and love. Father, I pray that these aren't just four words. Lord, I pray that they're not just four B's, but Father, they really become the DNA of this church. Father, may the people outside see the vision that we have, and may the people on the inside embrace the vision that you have handed to us. Father, Lord, we are here because there are people in this area that do not worship you. And Lord, we ask you to strengthen us so that we can share a beautiful gospel with them and their family can be saved. And they can honor you by coming in here, worshiping you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's in your Son's precious and holy name we pray. Amen.